This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, Raymond just said it was his 26th game with 10 or more threes. Yeah. So we're spoiled around here. We're used to it. It never gets old watching. I can tell you that. The fans here tonight, even the Magic fans, they know they're witnessing the greatest shooter ever and one of the greatest performers ever. It's not just the shots going in. It's just the fluidity, the beauty of his movement and motion and his audacity, the shots that he's willing to take. He's an incredible performer, and he put on quite a show tonight.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Hey, happy Friday,
Coach,
Dibbers.
Thank you, Coach.
I wasn't sure where Luke was going with that one.
Wasn't either. And, Fade the Dibber will be back next NFL season.
Can't wait.
You can all tag along and bet against me, and you'll probably make a little bit of money.
Especially what we did this year.
Yeah, I was cold.
You picked a hell of a time to get hot.
Yeah.
Get hot!
Well, I actually made a real live bet on the Super Bowl, and I actually got that one right, so that felt good.
There you go.
Philly.
You helped us out the rest of the playoffs,
yep,
so we
no
can give
doubt.
You the Super Bowl.
Appreciate it.
We can give
it.
You the Super Bowl. But Steve mentioned the stat that you brought up, Dibs, on the other side of the break. 26th game for Steph with 10 or more threes. Let's just run through them really quick. It was his 45th game with 9 or more threes, which is by far the most in NBA history.
Okay.
26th game with 10 or more threes, as you mentioned, the most in NBA history. 14th game with 11 or more threes, also the most in NBA history. And his third game with 12 or more threes, which now is tied with Klay for the most in NBA history. Of course, he also has one game with 13, but that is where he tops out. Klay has him with 14 overall in one game, but Steph has the most. Nine or more threes in individual games, the most 10 or more threes, the most 11 or more threes, and now tied for the most 12 or more threes in a single game.
Klay had the record back in 2018. He had 12 threes on February 6th and February 24th of the same year, 2023. So that was just an absolute heater of a month. He had
2023?
Yeah.
Wow.
Klay Thompson had 12 threes, and then 18 days later, he had 12 threes again.
Yeah.
That's being locked in right there.
He had a hell of a February 2023 a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. There's just Warriors littered throughout those history books everywhere you look when it comes to three-point records. 888-957-9570. Dibs, I want to throw this question out to you. Because I'm feeling like this season is becoming special, and a big reason why is because of Jimmy Butler's impact. And I feel like he has helped this team in so many ways. It's almost across the board. It's everything. Like, he is a big reason why this team is better defensively. He's a big reason why they are better offensively, because he gets them consistently better looks. I think he's a big reason why, and he's the driving force behind free throwing becoming a strength of this team, not only the number of free throws they get, but the percentage with which they make them. And I think there's also ways in which he helps in less tangible ways as well. If I were to ask you this question, and we'll open this up to all of the listeners as well, 888-957-9570. Dibs, where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most in these last eight games for the Warriors? What do you think?
I think it is probably, for me, it would be the intangibles. The intangibles of him, his personality, his confidence, and everything else that goes with having a player like that, because he's a good two-way player. He can pass, he can score. You mentioned the free throws, but for me, it's that feeling where you've got another dog or another blank hole, as Draymond said. We need to get another a-hole in here, and Jimmy can be that. I don't know if you've seen some of his press availabilities, but he's running material. He's cracking on staff members. He's wearing fun clothing. Yep. He burns candles in the locker room. I think that it's his personality, and it's just the idea of having another all-star caliber player, somebody who has that level of gravitas that allows especially the younger guys to feel more confident.
I would have said the exact same thing, Dibs. Remember when Steve Kerr, the thing he harped on when the Warriors were in like the lowest points of this season? They were in a crisis of confidence.
Yeah. Yep.
When was the last time you thought this team lacked confidence? It's been a while. It's not something that you think of when you watch this team play basketball right now.
Definitely not since Jimmy's been here.
No, but it's a good point, because when they were 12, well, Steve made it and you just stole it. But when they were 12 and
good
3,
recall.
They
good
did
recall,
not have a crisis of confidence. But after they were 12 and 3, they had a winning percentage of about 450 over the next two or so months. And just watch how they played. Buddy Hield looked like he lost his confidence. And, you know, Pods was a little hurt, but his shot was not falling the way you want his shot to fall. Yeah. And, you know, Steph was getting double teamed everywhere and harassed all over the floor. And none of them really looked like they were feeling like they feel now. And now they feel and they look like a team that they probably can't wait to play their next game. And
no doubt.
I like what Steph said in that cut you played, where he's like, I like making baskets. It's like, yeah, Steph, we like it too. We like when you go out there and make baskets.
Please make more baskets, yeah. Steph.
Pretty
Please.
Funny.
The 707 chiming in. Again, we're asking Jimmy Butler's biggest impact. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? The 707 says turnovers, both on defense and on offense. And I have the numbers to back that up for you, 707. The Warriors are committing two fewer turnovers per game with Jimmy Butler than they were before, from 14 turnovers committed per game down to 12. Also, on defense, they are forcing more turnovers than they did before. Before Jimmy Butler, they were forcing 15 turnovers per game. With Jimmy Butler in these last eight games, they're forcing 20 turnovers per game. So that's a big part of it. The 925, though, is agreeing with you, Dibs, and you, Lucas. The 925 says Jimmy helped everything without a number of stats, intangibles. And I think that's where I fall to. There's something about him taking the pressure off of Steph, which allowed for last night to happen. And this isn't even necessarily like a one-night story. Like, this was Jimmy Butler helping them dominate Dallas and helping them dominate Charlotte, which allowed Steph to not play in the fourth quarter in either of those two games, which allowed Steph, Dibs, fresh off a cross-country flight to Orlando, to have the legs, to have the energy, and to have the ability to go out and score 56 points in a game. Like, I think where the Warriors caught themselves in a trap early this year, Dibs, was Steph had to do the heavy lifting to beat a team like, I don't know, Utah at a certain point.
Yeah.
And then the next game, when you really need him, again, he can't because he's exhausted from what happened the previous game he played. Even if it wasn't a back-to-back, he wasn't even playing back-to-backs. But if two nights ago he played, or the other night he played, and he had to play 35 minutes, and they were excruciatingly difficult 35 minutes, that's going to impact his ability to help you tonight. And we're seeing, on a night-in and night-out basis, Dibs, less is being exerted by Steph physically, which keeps him fresher whenever the next game comes up on the schedule.
That's a good point. And, you know, he played 23 minutes and 39 seconds against Charlotte, and that's not much. And he only played 28 and a half minutes against Dallas. And your last three games before last night, you won by 24, 24, and 36. So even though he was playing, like, he played almost 31 minutes against Sac, that's less than his average. Yeah. And then you played less against Dallas, and you barely played against Charlotte at all. And like you're saying, it's not high effort minutes. Even when you have a game that you beat Charlotte by 36, you know, Curry had 15 points. Not that he mailed it in, but he could kind of just cruise in that game, yeah, and not really have to worry too much about it, because that thing was in hand from the outset. And just hearing you lay that out reminded me of something that maybe I dreamed it. Did he have bilateral knee tendonitis?
He did.
Was that a real thing that happened?
He wasn't playing back to backs.
Right. And the knee
thing. He has played the last couple of back to backs, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Knock on wood as far as knee tendonitis. But yeah, they've had two back to backs in this month and he played both ends of those games. And it looks like if maybe he got a little bit of the cortisone in the knees or whatever they did for him treatment wise, it seems to have worked.
Yeah, no doubt. 888-957-9570. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? Because even though he didn't have a great game last night, he couldn't hit a jumper, wasn't getting to the free throw line as much as he used to, or at least as much as he has his first seven games as a Warrior, you could still feel his impact in that basketball game. So 888-957-9570, where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? Let's go out to the phone lines. John is standing by in Hayward. John, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Granny today. How you doing, John?
Pretty good. I like the impact. I know less turnovers, creating more to the opposition, but I really want to call in, man, throughout the history, and, we've had some good scorers from MJ to Kobe Bean to KD. Man, when this guy is in a zone, it's a different animal. Just looking back, that shot that he hit against Dallas, when it was on NBA Showcase Sunday over PJ Washington, just that look, it swished it right through. It is so difficult to get that shot off. And I just want to say, we got to appreciate this guy. And, I'm just sick and tired of the knuckleheads, the older guys not giving this guy his flowers while he's still there. And I mean, just he's been carrying. They're not talking about, which teams are being watched the most on NBA League Pass, which, guys is making, everywhere he goes, it's sold out. It's the fans were cheering MVP. And the only guy that I can remember, the last guy to do that was Kobe Bean. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. It did feel like he turned. It's now the Kia Center, I believe, in Orlando. It used to be Amway.
Yeah.
Now the Kia Center. It kind of felt like it was a home game for the Warriors. Kind of sounded a little bit like Chase in there in that fourth quarter.
Well, there were a lot of Warrior fans.
No
in
doubt.
There, so, and I'm sure Magic fans who were enjoying what was happening. And if somebody hits a 65 footer, you're going to cheer for it, even if it happens here at Chase. It's like, wow, that was awesome. And, you move on with your day. But when you see Steph Curry doing what, you wanted to see, you go to an Orlando game because you're a fan. But if you're going to pick one or two games on the schedule and think about going to a Magic game, it's going to be when Steph comes to town. And so you're going to do that. You're a Magic fan and you want the Magic to win, but you want Steph to do something amazing. And Steph did something amazing and the Magic almost won. So even if you are a diehard Magic fan, you probably left that gym feeling pretty good about your night.
I mean, yeah, if I can pretend I'm a fan of some Eastern Conference team like the Magic, I'm not a Warrior fan, but I go to a game and I see the Warriors and I see Steph, it honestly, I would trade a historic Steph night for my team to lose just so that I could say I was there and I got to see it, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it feels like a lot of fans are doing in those moments. Like, well, our team lost and we're trying to fight for a play-in spot in the Eastern Conference. Like, we got some action this year and we hope we can figure it out in the final 22, 23, whatever, however many games the Magic have left. But at least we got to see Steph score 56 points and make 12 threes. That's pretty darn special.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, in the NBA, it's easier to do that than, if you're a Niner fan and, you see Patrick Mahomes come in and throw seven touchdowns or whatever the record would be, and your team loses, you'd be bummed because football games are so much more important.
Yeah.
Only 17 of them. But if you're a Magic fan, you could probably stomach the loss knowing that you saw a 56-point game from Steph Curry, one of only 14 he's authored in his great career.
Yeah, yeah. 888-957-9570. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? We've talked about a few areas, Dibs. I think there's a couple of others. We mentioned the turnovers, which is what one of our texters mentioned. I think you can also talk about the free throw line. How about this, Dibs? Pre-Jimmy Butler, the Warriors were attempting about 20 free throws per game. They were making 75% of those 20 attempts per game. Since Jimmy Butler's been here, so over the course of eight games, 25 free throw attempts per game, so five more per game, and instead of shooting 75%, they're shooting 86%. So for whatever reason, that's not all just Jimmy.
For whatever reason, the Warriors are getting more free throw attempts, which is basically just Jimmy. But they're also, across the board, everybody is shooting better. I don't know how to explain that. Is it just the confidence that Jimmy Butler adds to this team? But they also have become one of the best free throw shooting teams in the league over the last eight.
Yes, and they still are dead last in the league in free throw percentage. But they're knocking on Milwaukee's door, and they're only 4 percentage points behind Toronto and 6 behind Houston. They're still in the cellar, but I'm glad you ran those numbers because they are climbing and they've gotten better. And just for some reference, last year in the association in free throw percentage, they were 16th. So just dead in the middle. I do think part of it is that one of your free throw getters who doesn't make a lot of them hasn't been playing. And that's Jonathan Kuminga, a guy who's really struggled from the line this year.
Was better right before he got hurt.
Right.
For like maybe 5 or 6 games or something like that.
Yeah, but I think not having him go 6 of every 10, because he's about 65% on the year. So you replace that with Butler, who's a good free throw shooter, then your number's going to go up.
Yeah. Let's see. Where else? The 908 on the text line says leadership and mentorship. People don't talk enough about the gap left by Andre Iguodala leaving. Jimmy is feeling that gap, filling that gap. I think it's interesting because if you talk about Jimmy Butler and leadership and mentorship, most people will just point to, well, what happened in Miami? And that is the exact opposite of leadership and mentorship. But it's hard to ignore Dibs, given everything that he said and what the locker room has said about Jimmy over the course of the last couple of weeks since he's been here. Really more like 3 weeks now, because there was the All-Star break mixed in there. The last 8 games of Warriors basketball, it does feel like there is an added leadership and mentorship there. And in fact, so much so that Steve Kerr said he hopes that Jonathan Kuminga learns from Jimmy Butler. Try to model his game after that. There is definitely an added leadership quality that this team has right now with Jimmy Butler. Who knows how long that lasts, because it didn't last forever in Miami, but at least as of right now, that's a part of it too.
Well, it doesn't have to last forever. He's only here for this year and 2 more, unless he gets an extension. And it seems to me that the things that have led Jimmy to go south previously have been conditions that won't exist here.
Seems
now,
like it, yeah.
It might if you get through next year and he's got 1 year left in his deal and he wants, you know, another extension at that point, things could go sour. But I think that the things that have gone bad for him, Minnesota was a team that didn't have any alphas to challenge him or to ride with him. Miami was great while it lasted, and then he wanted money, and they didn't want to give him money, and so there was a clash there. I don't foresee that happening right away here, and it's easy to have things be groovy when you start out 7-1, and you're playing alongside one of the greatest players ever.
Yeah. No doubt. I'm with you. It doesn't feel like the characteristics, the way in which he got frustrated in those stops, it doesn't seem like that's, at least right now, anywhere near what the Warriors' reality would be or would become. 888-957-9570. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? Let's go back out to the phone lines, because Eric in Millbrae is on hold. What's up, Eric? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Grandy and Dibs today. How you doing?
What's up, guys? Yeah, to me, the impact is just opening up the lanes. Before, the Warriors were just struggling. It was just such an effort to get anything going offensively, rhythm, and having all the pressure load for Curry to really continually carry the team. And his ability to attack, his ability to open up lanes, his passing ability is making it so much easier, especially for Curry, but even for the role guys. And a guy like giving guys more confidence, and I think a guy you're seeing with Quinton Post now starting to be a force, and I'm really fascinated to see once Kuminga comes back, that should even give him another weapon. So this Warrior team plays, guys, I don't really fear anybody, because Denver to me is not as good as they were in previous years. OKC, the Warriors play them really good. They've beaten them repeatedly, so even if they have to go into OKC, the Warriors have shown they can play there. And the Lakers are, we'll see here with Luka, if they continually shine. But guys, it's going to be wide open. If the Warriors have shown anything, with a guy like Playoff Jimmy, if he plays his game, and we know Curry can do, and the role guys, Draymond plays his role, and Kuminga can give him somewhat what he was given before his injury, guys, in the bench plays a role. I think this Warrior team, guys, can really challenge to come out of the West. I think it's wide open. I don't think there's a favorite. I want to get your opinion on that.
Interesting, Eric. He's a little fearful of Denver, not fearful of Oklahoma City, not fearful of Memphis, not fearful of almost anybody else in the Western Conference. How do you view that, Dibs?
Well, I think that I'm fearful of all of them, primarily Oklahoma City and Denver. Houston, not so much. I think that they're still a team that's going to have to prove it. You know, you have to go through it a couple of times before you can do it, usually.
That would be the dream first-round matchup, if you could pick it.
Yeah. I'm fearful of the Lakers just because of Luka and LeBron. And, you know, neither one of them can really be contained by this team. I know you've gotten by Luka in the past, but LeBron is always a handful. Oklahoma City, you know, as I mentioned, you have to go through it before usually you can do it. And I think that they're starting to get that experience, but I'll say this, and maybe it's because of Court of Gold, but stock a little down on Gilgeous Alexander.
Oh.
And the way that he played.
Not a fan of SGA, huh?
I mean, he's a great player, but you watch him in the Olympics, and you kind of see the way Canada meekly went out, and, you know, Shea was just kind of, he was kind of a wallflower. And then you watch the recent games for Oklahoma City, and teams are starting to double up on him and make life difficult for him, and I don't know if Oklahoma City has the complete supporting cast. If Shea doesn't go off, I think Oklahoma City becomes, you know, more human. So, yeah, I'm kind of with the caller. And you get into a 7-game series, you know how difficult that is if you're a Warrior because you've been through it. Steph's been in how many series in his life? I mean,
oh God,
he's probably played in, you know, 180 playoff games. And so,
I mean, every time they went to the finals, that's four series right there. And they've been to the finals. They've won four. They've lost two. That's six times four. That's 24 plus 25, 26, 27, 28, at least 29 series.
147 playoff games. So, and that's
right around 30 playoff series in total, something like that.
Yeah. And it, you know, as we mentioned before, when they go to the playoffs, they go deep in the playoffs. The only time they didn't was in 2014. They got seven total games. That was when the Clippers got them in seven.
Yeah, which was the very final, the very end of the Mark Jackson era.
Yeah,
right when that series ended, Joe Lightkip and the Warriors decided bye bye Mark, and they hired Steve Kerr, and then they won the championship the next year. The following year, they won 73 games, and then they got KD, and the rest is history.
Yeah, but they went finals, 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 finals in their playoff appearances. And I know that there was two years in between where they got nothing, but they've been deep. They've played a lot of series. So I do wonder more about Houston than OKC. I just think that Houston's too young. So yeah, for me, it's avoiding Denver, the Lakers, and OKC.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that order.
I think I'm with you, and we can get more into that as we continue on the show today. Also, I think that the beginning of Eric's call, and you can join the conversation, 888-957-9570, talking about Jimmy Butler's impact, essentially saying that he's opening up the floor for everybody else. That includes Steph, but it also includes some of the others, like Moses Moody and like a Brandon Pajemski. Hell, even a Quentin Post. We can talk about that because I think that's also a Jimmy Butler impact where he's making it easier on others. And I also see both Charles and David, who are on hold, who want to talk about the ways that Jimmy Butler can help this Warrior team, or that the ways in which he has been helping this Warrior team. So Charles and David, hang out on hold. We will get to you when we come back. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Granny with you on this Friday. We got Tim Roy coming up in about a half an hour at 4:15. Looking forward to that, talking with the voice of the Dubs, but plenty more time for your calls and your text as we continue here on 95.7 The Game.